We read in Canto 8, Chapter 15, Texts 29 through 31. No purports for 29 and 30. I'll read these first. These are spoken by the Guru of the demigods Brihaspati to Indra and his men. Neither you nor your men can conquer the most powerful Bali. Indeed, no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can conquer Bali Maharaj, for he is now equipped with the supreme spiritual power, Brahma Tejas, as no one can stand before Yamaraj. No one can now stand before Bali Maharaj. Therefore, waiting until the situation of your enemies is reversed, you should all leave this heavenly planet and go elsewhere where you will not be seen. So he tells them, you can't win, you can only lose, so you should hide from the demons. Text 31. Bali Maharaj has now become extremely powerful because of the benedictions given him by the Brahmins. But when he later insults the Brahmins, he will be vanquished along with his friends and assistants. Purport, Bali and Indra were enemies. Therefore, when Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, predicted that Bali Maharaj would be vanquished when he insulted the Brahmins by whose grace he had become so powerful, Bali Maharaj's enemies were naturally anxious to know when that opportune moment would come to pacify King Indra. Brihaspati assured him that the time would certainly come, for Brihaspati could see that in the future Bali Maharaj would defy the orders of Sukracharya in order to pacify Lord Vishnu, Vamanadev. Of course, to advance in Krishna consciousness, one can take all risks. To please Vamanadev, Bali Maharaj risked defying the orders of his spiritual master, Shukracharya. Because of this, he would lose all his property, yet because of devotional service to the Lord, he would get more than he expected. And in the future, in the eighth Manvantara, he would occupy the throne of Indra again. Om Agyanatimarandasya Gyananjana Sulakaya Chakrasun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shriyuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Scha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhudina Bandhu Jagapate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radhakanta Namostute Taptakanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavan Ishwari Vishapanu Suta Devi Panamami Hari Priye Manchkalpaturubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Esha Vipa Balo Darkha Samprat Yujitak Vikrama Tesham Eva Pamanena Sanabando Vinakshiti. So, in the first line of this verse, Vipra Bala means the power of the Brahmins. Vipra is another word for Brahmin. And Bala means power. Yesterday, Ramanuja was saying that these Brahmins were on the demon's side, but that's how it is. Sometimes the criminal side gains the power. So the blessings of these Brahmins were invested in Bali Maharaj, and that made him undefeatable. Brihaspati says, only the supreme controller will be able to conquer Bali. So we know how that happened. Bali Maharaj insulted Shukracharya, rejected him, defied him, so that he could pacify Lord Vishnu. He took a risk, it says in the purport. You can take a risk to advance in Krishna consciousness. This morning we heard a reading. Prabhupada wrote in a letter, you can take a risk in Krishna consciousness, but don't risk the temple. The risk shouldn't be too much. Recently, we've heard about the devotees in Moscow. They've been losing to the Brahmins in Moscow, the priests in Moscow, the Orthodox, Russian Orthodox Church has stopped the devotees in Moscow several times. They've been getting building permits, they've been getting approvals to build a temple, and then the protests start, instigated by the powerful Russian Orthodox priests, because they know ISKCON is on a mission. And they wonder, why is ISKCON trying to convert the Russian Christians? They think that Hinduism is something that you get by birth. They have a stereotyped idea of ISKCON. So if you can only be born as a Hindu to become a Hindu, then why are you trying to make the Hindus, they wonder? Why try to make the Russians Hindus? We have a good religion already. We don't need Hinduism. The Russian church was suppressed so long by the communists, and now we don't have the communists, so we can revive this nice traditional religion. It unites people. It's ideal for our country. We want a homogeneous country, the great Russia. This religious conformity to the Russian Orthodox Church will create this great Russia, and ISKCON will destabilize it. So the devotees are kept out of power by the Brahmins in Moscow. So something like this is going on in this pastime. Bali and the demons are powerful by the benedictions of the Brahmins. Esa Vipra Balo Dharaka. So what kind of blessings did these Brahmins give to Bali? We said it's a kind of criminal power, so we heard yesterday that Ramanuja met one guru who was claiming, now I have so many disciples in so many ashrams, and Ramanuja challenged him. He said, are you still on the ego, the platform of the ego, that you're thinking mine, I, me? It's all Krishna's property. So what kind of blessings do we want from our gurus? Do we want to be blessed with some kind of worldly power? Do we want worldly fame? Do we want money? Is that our goal? Or are we looking for another type of blessing? Srila Prabhupada describes that Bali got the blessings of Shukracharya, but he also describes that Bali got the blessings of another spiritual master who was a pure devotee, his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. And the blessings of Prahlad Maharaj resulted in spiritual advancement. Bali made spiritual advancement because he was blessed by his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj. So he became a pure devotee, even though he was born in the family of demons. And he was kind of a special devotee because he didn't undergo all the requirements of devotional service. He didn't do sadhana. He didn't become a sadhana siddhi, perfect by sadhana. But he received the guru's mercy, kripa siddhi, the mercy of Guru and Krishna, his grandfather and Krishna, Vamana Dev. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks about this on Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. Those who are fortunate get the seed of devotional service. So, by the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, Bali Maharaj got this seed of devotional service. And when that seed developed, Prabhupada writes, he achieved the ultimate fruit of that service, namely, love of God. Immediately upon the appearance of Lord Vamanadev, Bali Maharaj because of unalloyed love for the Lord, immediately decided, I shall give this little dwarf, Brahman, whatever he asks me. Bali was regularly maintaining devotion for the Lord because Prahlad Maharaj had given him the seed of devotion. So when he saw Vamanadev, he felt love and wanted to give him whatever he wanted. So he took a risk and he rejected his guru's mercy. Yesterday, the question came up, how do we get the guru's blessings and the guru's mercy? So this is described in Bhagavad Gita. You all know this verse, Tadviri Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya. Pranipatena means to humbly submit to the spiritual master. Submission. Sub means under, right? Sub, Latin word, means under. Submission. The guru has a mission, and your position is submission. You want to serve that mission. You want to do something. So you take a humble mood and you ask pariprasnena, inquiry. Prabhupada says you can't inquire from someone unless you feel it's a person you can surrender to. What's the use of just talking among friends? He says, you know, Krishna and Arjuna were talking as friends, but finally Arjuna surrendered. He felt that he could surrender to Krishna and ask him how to solve his most serious problems. Karpanya dosha pahata svabhava prachami tvam dharma sam yudhichetaha yachtrayasyan nischitam bruhi tanme shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapanam. We have a Bhagavad Gita here in our shop, and the Bhagavad Gita, it's not Prabhupada's. It translates this verse as, Arjuna was distressed. He didn't know his duty because he had not fully understood Brahman. So this Bhagavad Gita has an impersonal tinge. So that's not so good. Thorough inquiry, pariprasnena, ask someone that you can surrender to. And do some service. If you want to get some blessing, ask if you can do some service. And then the spiritual master will be pleased. Oh, this person is submissive, wants to help. And he can tell you, upadekshanti te ganam. He can initiate you into the knowledge of transcendence. This is a very important topic. We all want to get the blessings of the spiritual master. So what do we get when we get the blessings of the spiritual master? This is described in the fourth chapter. Let's look at this. It's very important. The verse Tadvidhi comes up in the context of yajna. We're talking about yajna in the third and fourth chapter. Krishna's advising, you know, yajnartat kamano yatra. You should act as a sacrifice to Vishnu. The whole Varnashram Dharma is meant to satisfy Vishnu. And then what do you get from that? This is what is important. What do you get? What's in it for you? Krishna describes. You'll be cleansed of impurity. You'll get the remnants of the yajna. And those remnants will have an immortal nature. Amrita, they'll be free of death. You'll go to the eternal Brahman. In that case, Brahman is all right. Because Krishna is part of Brahman. So you'll go to Krishna. This knowledge that you get from the spiritual master gives you a perfect discipline of the self. We're into self-realization. Self-discipline is required. So the perfect discipline of the self will come through the instructions of the spiritual masters and the order of the spiritual master. Shri Guru Mukha, what is it? The lotus words of our spiritual master. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. So the order of the spiritual master, Guru Vakya, that will give us the knowledge how to discipline the self. We can't do it without the spiritual master's order. We have to conform to the spiritual master's instructions. That'll be the perfect discipline for the self. And Krishna says this will free you from attachment. Attachment, fear, and anger, you'll be freed from all those things. And you'll be established in knowledge. Your karma will be completely dissolved. You'll have no more selfish desire. You'll be satisfied by gain that comes of its own accord. This verse was so important to me when I met the devotees before I became a member of ISKCON. They had a poster on the telephone poles. This verse was on the poster. Krishna says, be satisfied with gain that comes of its own accord. And the explanation is that according to our past activities, our previous activities in other lives, the Supersoul awards us a certain kind of body. And along with that comes a certain amount of gain and loss automatically. Happiness and distress automatically come. We don't have to endeavor. It's all predestined according to our previous activities. So just be satisfied with gain that comes of its own accord, Krishna says. You don't have to accept the materialistic strategy for happiness. The materialists tell you, just work hard, earn a lot of money, then you can spend it and you'll become happy. Yeah. So you can drop out of the materialistic system and drop in where Krishna is, and you'll be happy with Krishna. You'll know what is action and inaction, and you become freed from misfortune, the repetition of birth and death. And as you offer yourself to me, Krishna says, yayatamam prapadyante, I reciprocate with you. I offer my love to you as you offer yourself to me. So, come to me, become immersed in me. This is the kind of benediction that Bali Maharaj got. Thorough inquiry from the spiritual master. That can mean, how do I ring a bell? Someone asked me to do artik. What's the right way to ring a bell? Is there a proper way to do it? Yes. The books on deity worship describe that the bell should be rung above the waist. You shouldn't hold the bell below the waist and ring it above the waist. How should I sing? What's the proper melody at Mangalartik? It's called the morning melody, the morning tune. It's the Jeev Jago melody. Da, 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 Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. This is the melody Krishna likes at that time of day. Other melodies, other ragas are there for other times of day. So we have to learn these things. I have to learn how to... Do I have to tie my sikha? Or should I just leave my sikha untied? Have a big bushy sikha hanging down? No. It's recommended you tie. Only untie it when you're bathing or when your relatives die and you are at the funeral, something like that. Of course, I don't practice this myself because I'm losing all my hair and my sikha is very thin and it really doesn't hold together. So when you get old, there's some exceptions. How do I clean a floor? Prabhupada told us how to clean a floor. First you use a wet rag, then you use a dry rag. You get the floor dry, if you can. Of course, if the system is, just use a mop. If the brahmacharis have the rule, okay, we'll use a mop. You know, just wring it out good so there's not too much water. And it'll dry, we'll open the window, let it. Okay, so you have a different system. What'll happen, Janaki? Janaki, what will happen if the floor isn't washed and dried and it's just washed with a mop? And if we don't follow Prabhupada's instruction how to clean a floor, what will happen to us? Huh? The floor, if it remains a little wet, yeah. Huh? Somebody might slip. We might slip if we don't follow the spiritual master's instructions. He says to really get the floor clean, you have to dry it. But anyway, it works, even if you don't dry it, because if you're trying to clean the floor because you've been asked to clean the floor, then your heart becomes purified. Or vice versa. You can clean and purify your heart, or vice versa. Prabhupada said if your heart is clean, then your external environment will also be clean. Your cleanliness of heart will manifest in a clean environment. And then you'll be like Bhakta Sildan. I saw him cleaning the floors yesterday. And what was he doing at night? At 9 o'clock? he was playing the harmonium in front of the deities, chanting Hare Krishna very, very wonderfully, all by himself, more or less. So satisfied. Krishna consciousness can satisfy us. The ladies might inquire from the spiritual master, how much makeup should I wear? Should I cover my head? Prabhupada said, don't try to look physically attractive. It's better if you try to look physically unattractive. What else? Any other inquiries? No, that's all. Okay. What else is here? The Supreme Controller is going to defeat Bali Maharaj. Let's talk about the Supreme Controller, who is going to conquer Bali. Who is that controller? He's the Super Soul, in one sense. He enters the atoms, he enters the hearts of everyone. And so he's in control of everything. He's inside the living entities and he's inside matter. And he's sustaining the planets that are floating in the air. This is why it's easy for him to lift Govardhan Hill. If he can float the planets in the air, what's the problem to pick up a little hill and float it in the air for 7 days, resting on his finger? Prabhupada gave that explanation of Giridhari. He can float the galaxies, so of course he can float Govardhan. But it's beyond our conception. We don't know how to do it. We cannot. So it's achintya, inconceivable power. And what's more, he has nothing to do with this world. Nothing to do with this world. He acts as the Super Soul, or he comes as Krishna, and he has nothing to do with this world. Therefore, this cosmic manifestation is described by an analogy. Krishna has many queens. So the prakriti, the material energy, is sometimes described as one of those mistresses of Krishna. But a mistress that he's not very much attracted to. Therefore, he calls this prakriti, my bina prakriti, my separated energy. Maya is just kind of separated from Krishna, Durga. He doesn't care so much about Durga. So he doesn't have anything to do with this world when he comes, or as the Super Soul. He can do everything without being affected. He can create the world, he can maintain it, he can annihilate it, and he's not affected in any way. There's no reaction. He's not attached, he remains detached from all activities. And nature just acts under his superintendence. Bhagavad Gita says, Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti. Adhyakshena means by my superintendence. Adhyakshena. If we break the word down, adhya means from above. Adi. Aksha means eyes. Adhyaksha, Maya Adhyakshena. So under my eyes. Maya is under my eyes. Adhyakshena, Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti. I'm above Maya. Just with my eyes, I keep Maya under my eye and I superintend it. Krishna brings all the living entities into contact with Prakriti through his eyes also. So both the moving and the non-moving are manifest Suyate Sahacharacharam. Under Krishna's direction, he produces all moving and non-moving beings. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this. He says that the king does his governmental business. How does he do it? How does the king do his business? Krishna Nam. You're British. You know about the king. How does the king, how does the queen do her business? Let's talk about the queen of England. What does she do? Does she have to do a lot? Yes, the government that does it. The government ministers do all the work. She just has to sit on the throne and show up once in a while and read the party statement. So Vishwanath Chakravarti says the governmental business of the king or queen is carried out by the ministers, or he says the prakritis. Here the word prakriti is equivalent to minister. The nature does all the work. The king is not involved. He merely has to remain present as the supersoul. And unless the king is present, the prakriti is incapable of doing anything. Similarly, unless Krishna gives his support as the supervisor, the material nature can do nothing. But he controls everything. So let's just end this class by looking at a paragraph that Prabhupada wrote when he was talking about the prayers of Queen Kunti. This is a description of how Paramatma acts, how he controls. Another name of Paramatma is Kala, eternal time. Eternal time is a witness of all our activities, good and bad. So don't just think of time as the clock. Think of time as the witness seeing all our actions, good and bad. And thus, resultant reactions are destined by the Paramatma. It's no use saying that we do not know why and for what we are suffering. We may forget the misdeed for which we may suffer at this present moment, but we must remember that Paramatma is our constant companion. Thus, he knows everything, past, present, and future. And because the Paramatma determines our future, all our future actions and reactions, he's the supreme controller. Without his sanction, not a blade of grass can move. The living beings are given as much freedom as they deserve, and misuse of that freedom is the cause of suffering. The devotees of the Lord do not misuse their freedom, and therefore they are the good sons of the Lord. Others who misuse freedom are put into miseries destined by the eternal time, Kala. Time offers the conditioned souls both happiness and miseries. It is all predestined by eternal time. Everyone here wants to lord it over Prakriti, and thus everyone creates his own destiny under the supervision of the Lord. So Krishna is the supreme controller. Question.